The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
That's right, baby. Hot dogs and cool kitties. It has been a long time, and I am so happy to bring him back. Dr. Rab Stewart from the Ross Bridge Animal Hospital joins us right here for Dark Side of the Pooch. Dr. Rab, how are you, brother?
I'm so glad to be back, my friend. I've missed you. I've missed this. It feels good.
I love it. It was one of our most listened to shows. It's a local show here. Of course, you're part of the Ross Bridge Animal Hospital. You can find them on Twitter at Ross Bridge Vet. You can also call them at 208-0301. 208-0301. You could have moved to San Francisco, and that's where I'm taking my dogs and kitty cats to make sure they get the proper care. But how you been? It's been, gosh, has it been over a year since this whole pandemic thing went down? And we used to do the show in the studio. Now, obviously, we're doing it remotely. But how have you fared? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good. I mean, you know, when you go that long, lots of stuff happens, but then you're trying to remember what the heck happened? Like what has been going on for the last year? So I don't know, tons of stuff. And COVID really changed the veterinary industry in a lot of ways. So, you know, it's really, I mean, I've in a strange way, you know, it's hurt a lot of businesses, and veterinary medicine is not one that it hurt. Something that I never saw coming with this whole thing was how we would be in more demand than we were before it.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that, because we actually talked about that this morning on the Curry and Clapo show. There are some businesses and silver linings for many, and including Tony Curry Radio. We had a lot more people staying home, and so they were listening to internet radio, and so it worked for us, and certainly our thoughts go out to everyone who struggled through the pandemic as well. But for the pet business as a whole, you're obviously going to be taking care of your own, and perhaps by the majority of us staying home for longer periods of time, it was a very beautiful time for a lot of pets, I would think, because mom, dad, the kids are home from school, they're doing homeschooling, and so they've got that interaction with their favorite human pal through all of this. And by that interaction, you're spending more time with your pets, and you see more of what they go through in a daily routine, and their pains and their sufferings, and whether they're scratching differently or acting strange. So just talk about that, and then we can certainly get into the aspects of pet care as a whole. I think when we started this show like 2 years ago, Dr. Rab, I want to say it was like a $60 billion business. Now it's like a $100 billion business. I think a lot of people perhaps went out and got more dogs and cats during the pandemic. I don't know, but back it up a little bit. I know that was a very broad question, but just talk about how the pandemic really affected the animal family.
Yeah, sure. So the first thing that we saw was it did slow down, and it was April of last year, because no one could go out and do anything. And so that was kind of a scary time. But then after you could leave your house, what people started doing was they were around their pets more because they were not at work. And so they started seeing all these things that was going wrong with their pets that they never knew before. You know, they didn't realize that their pet was peeing all over the house. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't realize that the pet was scratching 24 hours a day, or, you know, throwing up and then eating it. You know, they didn't know all that stuff because they were home.
Yeah.
So they initially, people found stuff that needed to be addressed, but then they also had more time because all these people were working from home. So we saw, after the lockdown ended, we saw a huge influx of sick patients. And the owner said, I never knew this was going on.
Yeah.
And then as you know, things were still, you could leave your house, but things were still shut down. And so people started getting pets because they were bored. And so then we saw a tremendous increase in business because people were getting new dogs, new cats, multiple dogs, multiple cats. And so we had to open up another surgery day every week for like 6 months.
Wow.
to do all the spays and the neuters. And so the demand caused a staffing shortage. Veterinary medicine, before, we were probably a little over saturated. And now you can't find staff. You know, I mean, veterinarians are in incredibly high demand. It depends on what you look at, but sometimes you'll have one veterinarian will have up to 18 job offers.
Wow.
One, you know, there's one veterinarian, 18 job offers. So we've seen our numbers probably go up 25 to 30%.
That's crazy. And I mean, obviously there's a lot of staffing issues that are happening with all kinds of different businesses. And I can certainly see that with you. And, you know, you bring up really interesting points and I analogize it, you know, during the summertime, it's probably the best time for anyone's dog or cat because the kids are home from school. They get used to seeing them first thing out of bed in the morning and they have that human interaction. And I think you can certainly make an argument that's the best thing ever for a dog. I mean, just to see that tail wag at 6:30 in the morning. And then when the kids go back to school, mom and dad go back to work, that dog is sitting there home alone or chained up in the backyard or in its kennel. Talk about, from a psychological standpoint, I realize you're not a psychologist, but talk about that separation anxiety that a lot of our pooches and kitty cats go through when they're used to having that human interaction 24 hours a day and all of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah, it's a big part of it. So you mentioned summertime. And so what happened is we basically had a full year of summer for my business because we're always really busy in the summer for the same reasons that we were busy during the pandemic. But so that turned into a year long summer. So it was a really busy year and the pets got accustomed to having everybody at home and getting all the attention and getting let out 6 and 7 times a day and going on long walks. And now what we're seeing is people are going back to work and leaving home. We're getting a lot of calls about separation anxiety. The dog is chewing everything up when everybody leaves or tearing the door down or, you know, inappropriate elimination, you know, talking about going to the bathroom in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, animal psyche, it's really not unlike ours in a way. If you're used to being around somebody all the time and then suddenly they leave your life for all but like 3 or 4 of your waking hours a day, it creates anxiety and fear. So we're getting a lot of calls of, hey, can you help my dog? Can we get some medication or can we get a training plan or what can we do? Because my dog's going nuts because I'm not home anymore. And a lot of these dogs, they came into the household not knowing any other routine because the pet was acquired when everyone was at home. So those are the pets that are going to have the biggest problem. The pets that have been around for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years plus, you know, they're probably accustomed to being at home. But these puppies that these people got about a year ago now, you know, maybe less, you know, maybe the dog at this point is, 16, 17 months old. Those are the dogs that are having a hard time.
So let me ask you this, because this sounds like it was a wonderful time for pets because the humans were around a lot more and then they weren't. But overall, are we in a pretty good place of taking care of our pets? Obviously, you have pet lovers who obviously know that when their animals are sick or whatever, they bring them to the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. And Dr. Rab Stewart joins us every single week for Dark Side of the Pooch. Are we in a better place now as far as in taking care and being responsible for our pets? And what happens now as we get back into what we think is normal?
Yeah, I mean, as far as our clients and our pets, I mean, everybody that we have does a great job of taking care of their pets. They consider them a member of their family because we're in suburban, you know, we're in suburban Hoover. So everybody's got a fence. The pets are basically indoors. So they're a part of the family. So I think the care is outstanding and the care was better when everybody was at home. Because I mean, let's be honest, especially if you have kids, I mean, there's a pecking order, there's a hierarchy and some things have to be put first. That's just the way it is. So, you know, when everyone's out of the house and going to work and taking the kids to sports and that sort of thing, it's natural that the pets have to take a back seat.
Yeah.
So now we're back to that. Whereas, you know, before we weren't.
To talk a little bit about the routine, because I had 4 dogs now. Of course, I went through a divorce, so I have 2, and so it's kind of cut my issues in half. And obviously, when you have 4, you have more things to deal with. But with the 2 particular dogs, and it is rare because when you have a 3 or 4 year old dog that is potty train, and all of a sudden it starts whizzing in the house. You're like, you lose your flipping mind, and you're like, what is wrong with you? And of course, the dog doesn't know what you're talking about, and it probably doesn't really understand why it's all of a sudden urinating in the house, even when a human being's around. Talk about how important a routine is to an animal, and I'm telling you, I've been taking my dogs for a walk every afternoon around 3:30. They know now that it's time for a walk, and sometimes I don't feel like going, and I feel guilty when I don't take them. It's almost like they get depressed on me.
Yeah, routine is huge, and I can speak from experience. I've got a dog, 10-year-old, love him. His name's Renzo. He's a street dog we got from Houston 10 years ago. And we've got a fence, and we had some tree damage, and it caught, like, the fence, because of COVID, we can't get a panel. It's a long story, but so we have basically not been able to let our dog out off leash for a while. And this dog will not go to the bathroom when he is on a leash.
And please talk about that. Expound a little bit on that, because I've got the same issues.
I don't know what the deal is. I guess he wants his privacy. Like, he doesn't want to be put on display. I'm not sure what the deal is, but this dog, he will pee when he's on a leash, but he will not poop if he is on a leash. And so I'm one of these people that, you know, we've got three kids. I obviously work. My wife is a school teacher, and we're running around like crazy in the morning. And it took us a week to figure out, why is our dog pooping in the house? Okay, well, is he pooping when you're taking him out on a leash? No. What about you? No. So we had to figure it out. And so now we've just kind of rigged up the fence where he can't get through it. But I have no clue, but it's his routine. He never grew up. He's never grown up without a fence. And so now all of a sudden he doesn't have a fence. We've got to keep him on a leash because that's another problem. You know what? I need to talk to Dr. Josh about my dog's mental deficiencies.
You probably do.
You know, so anyway, he tries to run away any chance he gets. So, but what we've figured out is he's got to go out three times a day, and he cannot be on a leash, or we will be cleaning up dog poop every time we come home.
Do we overthink what our dogs are thinking? Because whenever we know as puppies, they chew toys, and they bark, and they do all these things, and we understand that they got to get into a routine. And then when you do have a dog that's in a routine and nothing really changes, and all of a sudden it starts doing things, it reverts back to its old habits. We right away go, what's wrong with Fifi, or what's wrong with this particular animal? Do they go through phases where they just quite frankly forget, and it's just better to go ahead and poop inside the house, or is that a telltale sign that maybe there's bigger issues at hand here?
So if it's an older pet, then they can get dementia. It's documented. Dogs can get dementia. We don't know near as much about it as we do on people, because you don't, you know, dogs can't talk to you. It's hard to quantify their mental status. You know, it's hard to objectify that. So, but it is documented that as dogs get older, they can get a form of dementia. One of the things that happens is they lose their quote unquote ability to be housebroken. So they'll pee in the house. They'll poop in the house. Some other things that go along with it. They want to be alone. A dog that maybe used to want to hang out with a family is now going into a room by itself, staring kind of off into space, getting caught in corners. They kind of corner themselves and may get stuck. But so the first thing you have to do when you have a dog or a cat that seems to be peeing or pooping or losing their ability to be housebroken or litter trained, is you got to rule out medical problems. And the main things are musculoskeletal issues for cats. Maybe they can't get in and out of the litter box anymore. Or cats are really temperamental, and maybe there's somebody moving in or moving out of the house, or maybe there's been a new pet introduced, or the litter box has been moved, all that sort of stuff. But also for dogs and cats, it's urinary tract problems. You know, maybe they have a urinary tract infection, or maybe they've got bladder stones. And so that's causing them to urinate in the house. Or maybe they've got musculoskeletal problems, and I'm talking about dogs now, where they don't feel comfortable squatting like they used to. So now they just kind of walk around the house and just let it plop.
Well, that's what I do. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But that's a different, problem.
Yeah.
We've talked about that, Tony.
So along with these, and I'm not going to go so much older dogs, but I watch a lot of television, obviously, so I can get show prep and everything else. And I'm seeing probably as many pharmaceutical commercials now for our pets as I'm seeing for human beings. Everything from dry skin to itching issues, not just like Bravecto and stuff like that for fleas and heartworm things, but I'm talking about anxiety issues, everything else for pets. Your thoughts on the pharmaceutical business and how it affects your business?
I mean, it's good. It's a good thing. You know, I know that on the human side, you know, big pharmacy is a really tough thing, and it really hurts in some ways. But for us, especially, you know, you mentioned the allergies and itchiness. There are some great medications out now that can really improve the quality of life of the pets that have allergies and you know, kind of chronic itchiness or secondary bacterial or fungal infections. And they won't break the bank. So one of the things for decades that we had trouble with in veterinary medicine was allergies, because dogs and cats can be severely allergic to food ingredients. And so when humans think about food allergies, we think, okay, well, it must make people throw up, or maybe it makes them break out in hives, or, you know, they have trouble breathing. That's not so much the case in pets. Food allergies manifest as itchy skin or itchy ears. And so, I mean, for a long time, pets were plagued and we couldn't really figure out anything that would help.
How prevalent is that? I've never heard of that.
Oh man, I mean, I can't tell you how many cases of, it's called pruritus is the medical term, you know, itchy skin. I mean, we see multiple cases a day. And wow.
And what kind of food allergies we're talking about? It's not just the fact that the dog food perhaps they're getting is not a great dog food, but what kind of allergies, what are they allergic to?
They're allergic to tons of food ingredients. And so you can be feeding a great food. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with the quality of food. It's just the ingredients that are in it. So protein sources, see a lot of beef and a lot of chicken. Also see carbohydrates, like a lot of dogs will be allergic to potatoes. Dairy is another big one. A lot of dogs can be allergic to dairy. Well, you know, so if you're feeding your dog cheese or, you know, yogurt or, you know, whatever, that can really cause them to have red, irritated skin. But also environmental things. And I'm talking like stuff in the house and outside the house. So dust mites and storage mites, which doesn't matter how clean your house is, those are in your house. Dogs can be really allergic to those. And then, of course, all the things that people are that they associate with allergies, probably with people anyway, but grasses, weeds, trees, shrubs, all that stuff. And it can makes your dog's feet or anything that comes in contact. It's a contact allergen. So if they're allergic to Bermuda grass and they're walking around outside, their feet are going to be itchy. Or if they lay down on their belly and they're allergic to the grass that you have, or even some of the trees, because all that pollen, depending on the time of year, that falls on the ground. And so they're laying down in it. And so they're going to have itchy skin. So what you can do is they have to be a certain age. They have to be 3 years or older most of the time, and you can allergy test them. And then maybe you can eliminate some things from their diet that they're allergic to. Or maybe you can say, all right, you can't really go outside as much anymore because you're allergic to this or that. Or if that's not possible at all, then you can get them on some of these medications we're talking about.
Dr. Rab Stewart joins us here from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Their number is 205-208-0301, 208-0301 at Rossbridge Vet. You can check that out, of course, on their Twitter account. They've got interesting stories on there as well. We'll take your emails at TonyCurryRadio.net, TonyCurryRadio.net. There's an email page on it. You can become a bonehead and send us your emails. Lily sent one earlier this morning from Hoover. She's got a dog that's afraid of thunder. I've been going through this with the Frisco dog for about 6 or 7 years. She was told by a veterinarian years ago to hold the pet close and just tell him it's going to be all right and it would go away. It never seems to work. She's tried thunder jackets whenever there's a 4th of July or fireworks going off. The dog freaks out. And she said, now it's getting to the point where even it rains, this dog can't stop shaking. What can I do? Please help Dr. Reb.
Well, that kind of stuff, number one, is difficult because you can plan for fireworks, but a lot of times you can't plan for thunderstorms because they just kind of pop up out of nowhere. But that's usually going to be a case for medication. I'll go back to you. You mentioned the Thunder shirt, and just like people, there are certain dogs where certain things will comfort them. So if you have a dog that likes to be held, and if something is going on, all they need to have done to them is be held, then the Thunder shirt works really great because it gives them the sensation that they're being supported. That's how it works. But if a dog doesn't want to be held during thunderstorms or loud noises or whatever, and there's a lot of them that don't, then you're probably looking at a medication. You don't want to try to bombard them with whatever they're afraid of to try to maybe desensitize them. That does not work at all in pets. And if anything, it can make things a lot worse because they don't understand what's going on. So you're usually looking at a medication. And so because of that, you've got to use it kind of liberally. So if they're afraid of thunderstorms, you got to kind of keep track of the weather and say, well, if we really got any shot of this being a thunderstorm, we probably need to give it some medication. So you end up using medication maybe a little more than you need to, but the medications are safe. And there's things that don't sedate them at all. There's things that just kind of decrease anxiety.
Yeah, I inadvertently took some of my dog's medication one time for a thunderstorm, and it worked brilliantly. By the way, it was fantastic. It laid me out for about 4 or 5 hours. I think I was only supposed to give him a quarter, and I took the whole thing. It was a little pink pill. It was great. What was that called? What's that anxiety pill that my dog takes?
Trazodone or maybe Aspromazine. Yeah. Or Aspromazine's a sedative. Diazepam is another one. Those are the main ones. Fluoxetine, but that's one you got to give every day. Fluoxetine is Prozac.
I got you. From John, he writes, and this is from Jackson, Mississippi. He mentioned this is right up my alley too, because all four of my dogs have had this happen, got bit by some poisonous snake in the backyard. He didn't realize until he saw the fang marks in the dog's lip. It vomited violently. He didn't know what to do. And about $3,800 later, his dog was home the next day and it was just fine and nothing was done with his animal. What to do when your dog gets bitten by a poisonous snake? Go.
If you know what the snake is, so if you're 100% sure that if it was a rattlesnake or a copperhead or cottonmouth or whatever, then you can give them anti-venom, and that'll help decrease the reaction to the bite. If you're not really sure, it's always good to have them seen. You know, even if you think it's a snake bite, or you know for sure it's a snake bite, but you're not sure what type of snake it is, it's really important to have them seen, because what at a minimum, they can cause infections because snake mouths are dirty. And so it's basically injecting bacteria underneath the dog's skin. So that's, you know, at best. At worst, the venom will circulate through the dog and basically make it so that they cannot clot their blood, and they can die from that. So being sure that their clotting profile is normal, putting them on antibiotics, oral antibiotics, putting them on something for pain, and then, you know, just monitoring is all important things to do with snake bites.
Dr. Rab Stewart joins us here every single week for Dark Side of the Pooch. You can also hear a replay of plays during the week right here on Tony Curry Radio from Rossbridge Animal Hospital. He does fantastic work. All my animals go there. 205-208-0301. 208-0301. Are you taking new patients?
Oh, every day, my friend.
Okay, Ross Bridge Vet at Ross Bridge Vet on Twitter. Molly from Bessemer writes in that she's got a female Yorkie that's 5 years old. She brought a brand new dog into the family, and her female dog will not stop humping it. What's the deal?
The female dog is humping.
Yes.
Oh, yes. This is a classic case of dominance. So a lot of people think that when a lot of people find it strange that a female dog would have that behavior. You know, we associate males with that behavior. I won't name any names, but, you know, one of them I think is on this radio show, and it's not me.
Yeah. I like helping things, by the way.
Yeah. So it's a dominance thing. So that female is trying to show that she's in charge, and she wants everybody else to know it too, especially the new dog. That's how they kind of create that hierarchy. I had a female dog that did it because she was the alpha. She was the alpha female. She was the alpha of everything. She was the alpha of my kids, of my house, everything. So, you know, you would hope, and usually what happens is that kind of works its way out. The other dog will understand that, okay, I need to take orders from this big bad bitch. And I can say that because, you know, the dog is probably intact. So I'm allowed to say that. She's a big bad bitch, the triple B.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it usually works itself out. But if it doesn't, you know, that's when you can get a behaviorist involved or a trainer involved, or we can give you some tips on how to introduce them safely.
Steve from Marietta writes to Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital's Dark Side of the Pooch here. When is it flea season? He's like, he's had infestation in his apartment twice in the last 6 months. He's over it. He's tired of washing everything. As soon as you hear the word eggs, a pet owner will freak out. What is the best time to keep your dogs fleaed up, and how do you keep it from coming into your home?
Where we are, it's year round. It's 12 months a year. It doesn't get cold enough to wipe away ectoparasites. I'm talking fleas and ticks. Especially the flea life cycle is an interesting thing. Without getting into too much detail, it can basically take 3 months before you eradicate all the life cycles in your home. So if you have a pet that gets fleas, you've got to treat them for 3 months before you get rid of all of the fleas that are on the pet and in the house. So it's a year-round thing because you're working through female fleas that are on the dog that are laying eggs, and then those eggs have to hatch, and then those hatchlings have to get on the dog, and that takes time. So people get frustrated because they say, look, my dog had fleas. I gave it this preventative. And now here we are a month later, I'm still seeing fleas. Why? It's because those eggs have now hatched, and those fleas have to be exposed to the medication that we give the pet.
Keep the questions coming. TonyCurryRadio.net. TonyCurryRadio.net. There's a piece right there at the bottom of the page where you can email us, and we'll read your questions here on Dark Side of the Pooch with Rossbridge Animal Hospital's Dr. Rab Stewart. We don't have time to get into the taxidermist, so we'll have something for our next show we'll do. It's a wild story, but you can go to Tony Curry Radio on social media and see the story that I tweeted out earlier today. Your number's 205-208-0301, 208-0301, Rossbridge Vet, at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter. As always, Dr. Rab, I love you. Dark Side of the Pooch, we'll do it again next week, all right?
I cannot wait to talk about taxidermy.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Have a great week, Tony.
You too, bud.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.